This session was recorded at Journey Underground, a recovery ministry of Journey Christian Church in Fairbanks, Alaska.
Welcome to the Underground, everybody. Cool. Beautiful fall evening. Thanks for coming out. It means so much to us that you come out and spend this time with us. Those of you who came to the Recovery Concepts, did a little bit of training upstairs Wednesday. Some of this might be a little familiar to you, but we're going to have some other really cool discussions this next Wednesday as well. All right, so we've been kind of in a series here. We're going to keep rolling on about our own recovery. One of the reasons we call this the Underground is not because we're hiding down here for any reason, but I love the picture of the Underground training, teaching, and that this would be like a Navy SEAL team down here training and learning stuff. It gives us some tools that most people don't get. We're down here going over things in a repetitious way, and we're not afraid of that until we get it down. Anybody that wants to do anything with any kind of power, you know, you got to do it over and over and over. I know there's some things in my life I've done over and over and over that I want to quit. And so to be able to combat that and come against it, you know, I'm going to have some power and I'm going to have some tools. We really envision this to be a place where we receive that training, that teaching, get some encouragement. So let me just jump right in. And again, if you recognize this diagram, just hold on before you go judging me. It's good stuff, okay? So Genesis 2 verse 7 talks about our glorious beginning. You know, when God created things, he said, let there be, let there be, let there be. But when it came to us, when it came to people, human beings, many of you know, this came to a place where he was up close and personal, like a hands-on deal. It said he formed us and fashioned us. And those words he uses is connected to like a creative process. Like he's creating an incredible work of art, that kind of intensity. So Genesis 2 verse 7 says, he formed man from the dust of the earth, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and it's actually lives, plural, when it comes to Adam. And that was such a powerful breath, it's still going on today. Those lives are still coming forward and coming out. Pretty amazing thing. It says, he formed man of the dust of the earth, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul or a living being. And so let me show you what this looks like according to this diagram. If you see it your own way, then see it your own way. That's cool. This is kind of how I do it. So we go like this. He formed man of the dust of the earth. I'm going to use a different marker. Giving him a body, right? So I'm going to put a little smiley face. I'm going to give him a little nose. Right? Everybody with me? Okay. He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, right? Giving him a spirit. Aha, look at that. Check it out. And then man became a living soul or a living being. So we have a body, soul, and spirit. So I think it's incredible when we look at this that the breath of God became the spirit of man. And the spirit of man would then be expressed in his own personality in his own unique way. What would that look like for a human being to be formed and fashioned, given a body, given like this casing that we live in or this earth suit that we walk around in, and then for God's breath, God's very spirit, to indwell this person, for it to mingle with this person. And for that to then be expressed, what would that expression look like? I love to think about that. And we would not lose being an individual. I think religion is concerned with sameness, cookie cutter, where real spirituality is about really being an individual in the way God designed you to be. And so what we would have is 7.5 billion masterpieces, unique, one-of-a-kind masterpieces walking around this planet, showing off a different facet of God in only the way that you could or that they could. So when in the creation of Adam and Eve, you know, I did this little study. I was showing my wife. They were studying little rat babies, and they were actually fascinated because they put microphones in there, and scientists found that they actually laughed and played, ran around having fun, poking one another and running. Pretty incredible stuff. And then the scientists took one single cat hair, not the cat, the cat hair, and dropped it in there, and then they listened. No more laughter, no more fun, no more playing. They all went into survival mode. Not because there was an actual threat, but because there was a possibility of a threat. Changed the whole deal. They never went back. Check it out. They never went back to playing and giggling and laughing in the way they did before. I think that's super interesting. And I say this to say Satan came along in the garden with Adam and Eve, and he dropped a cat hair right in the mix. Are you sure God could be trusted? Are you sure this is what he's really about? He's not holding out on you, that he means what he says, that he's not selfish himself. And they began to take matters into their own hands. And a very important part to recognize about sin is self-preservation at all costs. I'm going to make sure I'm okay. I'm going to make sure I get mine, right? And what is it like for you when you go into self-preservation mode, right? You feel yourself contract. You feel yourself get real small. You back up. How do you look at everyone? If you stay in there long enough, I mean, you can actually harm another person, being triggered into fear, panic, all that stuff. So the cat hair and the self-preservation sin enters the world, as you guys know. And one of the questions we talked about a little bit in the recovery concepts group was, when was your beauty taken from you? When was your innocence lost? Like, when did you realize that we live in a fallen world? And I think it's interesting. I hear so many stories about it. Some people say, that's all I ever knew. I never experienced life in any other way than very, very much broken, abusive, being lost, being harmed. Other people report different things. My wife did a teaching on healing from shame, really good teaching. And she talks about running through the fields, picking flowers, spinning and twirling. And something happened to her father. I forget exactly how old she was, but he had this breakdown. And I believe it was definitely connected to the demonic realm in some way, but he became very violent in just horrendous ways. And my wife talks about looking at herself like in a mirror and how that mirror began to crack. And how the men in her life and people in her life that were supposed to take care of her, protect her, began harming her terribly. And so that reflection, all of the people that were supposed to reflect back to her who she is became warped. You know, it's like walking through a hall of mirrors, all the warps and twists. Could you imagine if you grew up in one of those places? Like, you would not know what you really look like because you've never actually seen a real mirror that's correct. It's super interesting. And her story is very painful to hear, but it's very victorious. It's powerful. And I talked to you guys a few weeks ago about my own upbringing a little bit. And I told you about me standing out on my front lawn when I was like 7, looking out at the stars and wondering all these weird thoughts about what's life all about, like what's going on. Got all this weirdness, bizarre stuff, bizarre people, sex, drugs, brokenness, all this stuff. Like, who am I? Like, what is it all about? Do I belong? Where do I belong? You guys ever ask yourself that? Like, in a deep way? I think that's a deep question on the hearts of man. Do I have belonging? The trees belong in the forest. Can see that. Birds belong in the air. Fish belong in the sea. What about me? Like, where do I belong? I really, really ask myself those questions. I think disconnection from source, disconnection from belonging is our core wound. That's our core wound. People with sexual addictions, even drug addiction, there's an intimacy disorder going on there, a broken connection. It's interesting when you look at little babies, for a time and a season, there's no front. You ever notice that? Like, they just are who they are. They just look at you. If they don't like you, you know, they make this ugly face, like, you're ugly, or I don't like you, or, you know, they'll just start crying. Like, I'll hold a little baby, and then he'll just break into tears, you know? He has no problem showing that. There's no front, is what I'm saying. And at one time, we all had that, right? I was listening to a guy tell a story I thought was super cool. I spent most of my life in South Florida, and we had Disneyland, right? He talked about what it was like to be in a Mickey Mouse suit. And the absolute glory and joy and the power of stepping out. It's like you have no idea. You step out in that Mickey Mouse suit, I mean, you are the guy, right? I mean, you step out and the kids flock to you. The parents, everyone's taking pictures. Ah, you know, it's Mickey. And man, it's just so interesting listening to this. It was so cool, though, to watch him talk about it, because he said, you know, watch his countenance fall. He's like, boy, I miss that Mickey Mouse suit. Boy, I miss being Mickey. You know, I felt that. You know, you guys get that? You feel that feeling? Like, why that would be? It's powerful. Now, obviously, I didn't put on a Mickey Mouse suit. But I lived in a fantasy world for most of my life. Definitely out in the clouds. And in those fantasies, I was a pretty important guy. I was definitely a loved person. In those fantasies, I was very powerful and important. You know, I was a key figure, you know. And I lived that way. Pornography, lying, cheating, stealing, all that stuff. I definitely harmed myself and others and spent most of my life as a drug addict. And God offers freedom for those things. It reminds me of a guy named John Weber. His dad gave him a brass cup, or his grandfather. And this John Weber guy tells of how he'd take that thing out and use it for target practice with his air rifle when he was bored. And he had this brass cup, you know, for years. Come to find out, as you might would think, this brass cup ended up being Persian gold, ended up being 2,300 years old, ended up selling for $125,000. Now I'm moved by that, because even though he treated it as worthless, the truth was, it was Persian gold. It was 2,300 years old, and it would sell for $125,000. And I want you to know, you may have treated yourself as absolutely worthless. You may have let others use you for target practice. But the truth is still the truth. You are worth what your Creator will pay for you. Bottom line. But as you know, any kind of work of art that is defaced or vandalized, it takes a painstaking process to restore it. You guys agree with that? How many of you guys get mad because God doesn't just fix you? Like, how long? It's a painstaking process. So where does this process begin? It begins by him restoring your deepest need for love and respect. It begins by him giving you a brand new identity. True story. Brand new identity. All right. Do you guys ever wonder how Jesus had the ability to forgive everyone's sins, give you a new identity? Like, what gave this person that authority to do that? One of the examples I use, and I won't, there's a long version, I'll give you the short one. They say, like, if, let's say, Dwight here. If Dwight became a German Shepherd dog, but remained Dwight, how many of you guys know that would be one valuable German Shepherd dog, right? That'd be the most valuable German Shepherd dog on the planet, right? I think I used you last time I said this. He would be worth more German Shepherd dogs than ever lived. In the same way, if the God of the universe could become a human being, how valuable would that human being be? And this is what happened. God became a human being, and he has the value of more human beings than could ever be, and he has the ability to pay for all of us and more. So his death, you know, when we fell here, we were born with a human spirit, disconnected from God. I was born with a Japanese-American body, this skinny little body. I was born with my own little mind, will, and emotions, but I was born with a human spirit connected to Adam. I was born in the Adams family right here. And when Jesus went to the cross, it says that this guy went to the cross. He didn't go to the cross, and he didn't go to the cross. He went to the cross, bottom line, and was buried. Bye-bye. But I was raised up as a brand new person. A brand new person was put here in its place that has never lived before. Okay? This is some powerful stuff. I'm just going to straightforward talk about this. The foundation of our recovery has to come from the fact that we are going to identify ourselves with Jesus. He leads the way. And we get this, you know, in many ways. You put on a football jersey, and we all know, I was studying this week, social identity, where people actually get an emotional benefit when they wear a jersey, and then that team wins, even though they had nothing to do with it. You know, they're cheering, we won, because they've identified themselves with that team. And we get that. We get that with the Olympics as well. And Jesus leads the way. Remember, Jesus came and identified himself fully with me as a person, fully with you as a person, and then asked us by faith to identify with him. I think this is incredible. So again, a few weeks ago when we were out in the pond and Tony got baptized, she was literally standing out there saying, I am publicly identifying myself with the death of Jesus, with his burial, and with his resurrection. I have been joined to Christ. And guys, this is the foundation. This is the foundation of our worth as persons, right here. And I'll show you this. What does this represent here, guys, this little red triangle? God's Spirit? Anybody else? That is correct. What else? The new man. Okay, so this is the Holy Spirit living within us. So you're saying God's Spirit is living in this person, is what we're saying. This is the Holy Spirit. Is this the Holy Spirit living in this person? Okay, check it out. So the God that is for us and not against us, we call Father. The God who is beside us, walks with us, we call Jesus. The God who is within us, we call Spirit. So I want you to just kind of take a look at this. This is the foundation of our worth as persons, guys. Whenever someone says to you, I learned who I am in Christ. I learned my identity in Christ. I learned who I am. I know my worth as a person. I want you to know what you're looking at and why this is so profound and why this is a game changer. Because it is the Spirit of God that joins us to Himself. Look at what joins us. His Spirit joins me to the Father. His Spirit joins me to Jesus. I have been joined to Him. Him to me to Him. I'm in Christ. He's in me. Look at what I have been joined to in this diagram. This is a powerful picture. Let me show you this. I just want to read a couple of verses to just show you what this is. Because before I can go on with any other sessions and talk about our journey in this, you know, this is so important to just make sure this is the foundation of our recovery. And Jesus is telling his disciples he's leaving. And they're all freaking out, right? Philip asked, you know, Jesus saying, I'm going to the Father. And Philip saying, show us the Father. So check this out here. And Jesus says to him, have I been with you all this time, Philip, yet you still don't know who I am? Anyone who's seen me has seen the Father. So why are you asking me to show him to you? Don't you believe I'm in the Father is in me? Plain and simple, right? Down here, verse 20, this is the foundation of our recovery and our worth. This is what keeps me from drowning personally. It says, when I am raised to life again, you will know I'm in my Father, you're in me, I'm in you. Those who accept my commandments and obey them are the ones who love me. And he goes on from there. Guys, look what you have become. This question mark that I carried my entire life, this question mark I carried, this emptiness, this all the questions I had about who I am, all the ways that I tried to fill it were so painful. This is such a painful place when left unanswered. The question mark was so heavy, guys, that you cannot fill it with enough drugs, and you can't fill it with enough sex. You can't fill it enough. And its glorious answer, it is so glorious. If you have received the living God and you have received salvation, I want you to understand something. You are absolutely beautiful. You are absolutely magnificent. Words can't possibly stand. I'm standing up here tonight, but I just want you to know, words cannot possibly describe the beauty that you are. No question about it. You ever come over a hill and you're thinking about whatever it is, you know, reaching for some more fries or whatever you're doing, and you come over a hill and there's a stunning sunset that you didn't know was there. You ever had that happen? And you're like, boom, in that moment, it hits you, okay? This is the kind of stuff I'm talking about. It's beauty that sets you back, and there's a holy silence. There's no words to describe what comes over you in those moments. When you are hit with beauty, I think Dan Allender is the one that said beauty is so dangerous. It's so powerful. It's super potent. I want you to understand something. If you could see yourself here, the glory that you are and that you carry, the beauty that you are, this is what I'm talking about. It's absolutely stunning. What has happened to you and who you are. This is why, guys, right here. This is why coming into your life right here. This is why I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. This is why, guys, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. This is why I am not my own. I have been bought with a price. This is why he'll never leave me. He'll never forsake me. And the list goes on and on. When you come back to your senses, the prodigal story tells us of this incredible reunion. And the prodigal comes home, and we've all probably read that story. The prodigal's all upset about what he had done. I'd done this, 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 this. What was the father's response? Benevolent indifference. Shockingly. His response was to restore him to a place of belonging. All I know is my son was dead, and now he's alive. That's all he knows. That's all he was waiting for. That is amazing. And I want you to understand something. To be restored to this deep place of belonging that God in his heart, when he designed me, when he designed you to be a son of God from the foundations of the world. He designed you to be a daughter of God from the foundations of the world. I want you to understand something. When I first came into the Christian faith, I thought that I was such a scumbag and such a worm. Even as a Christian, I kind of heard it like this. Thank God that when he looks at me, he sees his son. He doesn't see me, the worm. He sees Jesus. God forbid he get a look at me because, you know, I can't even be looked at. I'm so horrendous. So he doesn't look at me. He sees Jesus. Now, there's some truth in that. But I want you to understand something, guys. When he sees me, that's right. He sees his son. That's right. When he sees me, he sees his son. And when he sees you, he sees his daughter. That's who he sees. No one has to stand in front of you and block the view. Yeah. We have been restored to an absolutely awesome place of belonging and honor and beauty. Now, I want you to know something, guys. Plain and simple, science cannot solve the problem of addiction. They can't. They're trying to figure it out. They're working on it 24/7. They honestly are. There's hundreds of podcasts on it, hundreds of websites on it. They're desperately trying to find an easy way to fix addiction. They can't do it. They can't do it. The answer comes from the most remarkable place. Isn't it crazy? The answer comes from being brought into God's family. And the answer comes from being brought into God's family. Both. God's solution is, let me introduce you to relationship with the family of God, with the family of God. Let me introduce you to my solution is connection on the deepest, deepest level. Now, I guess when I look at this, I don't know what this does for you guys to see this diagram. I could just sit and stare at it and drink iced tea all day because it just blows my mind. When I first received this, you know, we were very confused about what it meant to do recovery, what it meant to know my identity. And when this happened to us and we began learning, this is who I am, right? I want to do what's right, but I don't, right? I don't want to do what's wrong, but I do it anyway. That kind of junk started happening to us. The Romans 7 thing. We had to start trying to figure that out. When you see the power and the glory of the Father and the Son and the Spirit pouring into this body temple, boom. Let me ask you a question. When this Spirit of God that's living in me says, Stan, don't lie. Don't lie. What do you think the wisest thing for me to do would be, maybe? Don't lie. Think maybe that would be wise. You know? When the Spirit of God living in me whispers to me so gently, so sweet, so wooing. Yeah, he could just overpower me. Boom, you know, scare me to death. But the Holy Spirit coming in here like this beautiful, peaceful river says to me, Stan, stop stealing. Knock it off. Don't steal. What do you think the wisest thing to do would be? Maybe quit stealing? Think maybe that'd work? Think maybe he's got my best interest in mind? You think maybe he's trying to do something for me where I'm becoming something I wasn't. Like, maybe I'm turning into this person. Like, maybe he's forming and fashioning and training me. He says, Stan, check it out, Stan. You're going to have to trust me on this one. Stan, you're going to have to trust me on this one. Stan, I'm talking to you here. I want you to trust me on this one. Have I not proved myself faithful? You're going to have to trust me on this one. Stan, stop doing drugs. Whoa. What do you think the wisest thing for me to do? Perhaps. See, this is the stuff that my wife and I began running into. It's like a snake shedding its skin. You know, if a snake doesn't shed its skin, it would die. In this process of me surrendering, I don't get more of God. You know, he gets more of me, right? So it kind of more looks like this, right? Right? It's kind of like I'm backing in here. Like, there's not more of God. I'm giving him more of me. And as I give him more of me, I'm looking more like him. That's pretty crazy. That's a pretty good deal. Don't you think it's a good deal? That's a really good deal. He's going to ask you to cross some dark places. He's going to ask you to lay some things down. I don't know about you, but there's going to be this dark swamp in front of you filled with crocodiles, abusive uncles, drug addiction, father wounds, mother wounds, traumas. That dark swamp is going to be in front of you, and it's going to be dark, and it's going to be scary. It's going to be scary as hell is what it's going to be. And he's going to say, I want you to cross this. I'm asking you to do it. Anybody that's been through detox more than once will know how painful that is and how scary it is. How many of you have spent a decade running from detox, right? I'm there. I've been there way more. Like, I've been there, right? Thank you for raising your hands. I understand. I have spent most of my life running from that. Terrifying. And when you come into this powerful relationship, sunset blazing in your spirit, I'm alive in him like I've never been before. And now he's nudging me so sweetly, going, hey, lay him down. Lay him down, dude. Come on. And just like Moses said, who am I, you know, that you're asking me to do all these things? You can read it in Exodus. Who am I? And God doesn't even answer him. You know what God says? I'll go with you. So God's answer is, you want to know who you are? You're the kind of person I'll go with anywhere. I'll go with you. That's his answer to the dark and scary swamp. Like, God just magically let me appear on the other side through the swamp. He goes, no. You're going to go through the swamp, but check it out. I'll go with you. That's how much I love you, and that's the deal in this. And in going with you, guys, once you've crossed that dark swamp, what can touch you? Right? Those of you who have overcome actual, like, heroin addiction, you've been on it for years, you understand that deal, you know, the meth, the pills, the whatever, and you've crossed that swamp, and you're standing on the other side, clean and sober, what can touch you? You've crossed the swamp, for crying out loud. Someone comes up and starts bashing you, calling you names, harassing you. You're like, harass me all you want. Dude, I've crossed the dark swamp with God. You can't touch this thing. He will ask us to go through the valley of the shadow of death. And we will fear no evil. Guys, I want you to know, I know meth addiction, and I thought it had me, and it almost had me. It almost had me, guys. It almost got me. It didn't just have one of my legs. It had both of them, and I'm clawing. Almost got me. But God gave me grace. Man, I thought that crack addiction had me for sure. I was done, guys. I was over it, man. Spent my life, you know, nights and nights scraping those pipes and crawling around doing the carpet shopping thing. You know, I know what that's like. For those of you that know, I know the shame of bloody knees and elbows from crawling around. Almost got me, guys. It almost got me. But it didn't. Because God gave me grace. And he reached to me in places I needed him so bad, guys. And I could go on about pornography and all these other things that almost got me. God is a mighty rescuer. And I want you to know it breaks my wife and I's hearts. And many of us here that are standing in this place where we're trying our best to encourage people to cross the swamp and do it. And we will walk with you. God will walk with you. And when you stand on that other side, you're going to look at it. And we're going to throw the biggest party and celebrate. And we're going to dance and have a bonfire. Because you crossed the blasted swamp that about got you. That maybe got your family too. But not you. Not you. Not you. I know what it's like, just like many of you, to look into the eyes of people that trusted me and see the crushing disappointment when they discovered that I was a user, that I was a drug addict, or that I was a liar, or that I'd ripped them off, or that I let them down in every way and betrayed them in ways they never imagined that I would do that to them. I know what it's like to look into the faces that I love the most and see that look. But I stand on the other side of the swamp. And I talk to God about those things. Many of those people that I loved that I did that to are no longer here. They're no longer alive. And I tell them all the time. Tell my wife that died absolutely crushed, absolutely destroyed. The wife that went before a judge and begged for an annulment from an 8-year marriage. She begged him for an annulment to let it be on record. She never was married to me. Ever, ever, ever be married to that guy. I beg you. This is her words to him. I beg you. My dying wish. And he gave it to her. And I talk to Jesus all the time. Show her a glimpse. Show her what you've done. Show her the beautiful Spirit of God living in me and the transformation. And did I show glimpses of being that guy she thought I was? That I'm becoming that guy more and more. Guys, I want the inside of my person to be magnificent. I want to be comfortable in here. Because I have to spend a lot of time here. The other day, I don't know who I was telling, but I was taking a little look around in here. Me and some of the guys here do some inner work. And I was kind of taking a little gander in here. I was like, you know what, Lord? I really like what you've done with the place. You're pretty nice. I think I'll kick back and relax. Something I could never do before. So one of my favorite statements with this diagram is, if you are the ocean, would you ever fear the waves? And I love that statement. I mean, it sounds new agey. But I love the statement, because when you have been brought into the family of God and you're a member of the family of God, you have a place at the table that's yours forever. You belong forever, permanently. You have a place. What do you got to be afraid of? How can you ever lose? And why should we ever fear obeying him quickly when he nudges? So it's very important because we talk all the time about our worth as persons, that until you know you're okay, you really can't love another person. You just can't. You can't. And so this is the foundation of our worth, of my worth. When my wife is too busy, has got nothing for me in life, she's in a bad mood or whatever, where am I going to get it? When I feel like no one understands me and I'm rejected, where am I going to get it? Like, this is the foundation of our worth. My union with Christ. It's the bedrock in which we stand. This is where recovery begins. Right here. It is the bedrock of my recovery. So it's super important to cover that. And we're going to go on from here and do some really cool stuff. We're going to do Bonnie's interview here whenever Kaylin and her get down on the calendar. Super, super excited about some of the interviews we have and the stuff. But I hope you take this home with you. And I hope you think about this, especially when you see a sunset and the next beautiful thing you see. Just think about what he's done in you. Thank you, guys.